Friday morning, time to go beyond the playbook with Matt Sabuda. Good morning to you, Matt.
Good morning, Jay.
All right, Matt, of course, it is a bye week for the Bills, so we don't have a game necessarily to preview. So it's maybe a chance to take a deep breath here and reflect on a 3-2 start for the Buffalo Bills. Going forward, what do you like for better and for worse?
Did you hear me taking that deep breath? Was it that obvious? Yes. I think the remainder of the season should be heavily focused on evaluation for the future by management and just going along for the ride as fans. And I know that sounds like a given, as fans really don't have much choice but to simply kind of take the ride. But what I mean is resist the urge to make any emotional investment in this year's team. You know, for many in Buffalo, a lot easier said than done. But this team is better than we thought, but still, I think going nowhere without a quarterback. And Cincinnati made it abundantly clear that Tyrod Taylor is not the guy to take this team into the future. And that's not a knock on Taylor personally or even as a decent quarterback in the league, but his limitations are as clear as ever. And for those who make the case that, yeah, he doesn't have weapons to throw to, I'd say look no further than the top five leading quarterbacks by yardage across the league, and that's Tom Brady, Carson Palmer, Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers, and Philip Rivers. Only one, Rivers and the Chargers, have a single receiver in the top five as well, and that team is 1-4.
Hmm.
So my point in illustrating the example is that the best quarterbacks don't have to rely on a single elite receiver. They make the pass catchers on their team better across the board because they're elite. Taylor isn't close to being in that category of being able to lift the team when inevitable injuries strike or when players are off their game. We'll likely see more ups and downs as the season continues, but again, wouldn't invest too much in the peaks or the valleys. And on defense, Bills fans should hope for more of the same. Look a lot better than expected. And rookie first-round pick Tre'Davious White leads the headlines as he looks like the steal of the draft on the defensive side of the ball. If you believe the analytics of Pro Football Focus, White is leading all players in the race for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Mentioned him a lot this season, and hopefully that trend continues. So going forward, Bills fans should root hardest for the guys on defense like White, EJ Gaines, Preston Brown, Eddie Yarborough, Shaq Lawson, and all of whom, all these guys, they're under the age of 25. I expect the defense to continue to excel, but continuing to excel through the play of their future would make their success a lot much more exciting.
Oh, yeah. That's most certainly a nice way of looking at things moving forward. At the same time, this is something you've mentioned more than once during Beyond the Playbook, and this is that story that, as you say, really goes beyond the playbook, and this is the continuing story of NFL players kneeling during the anthem.
Yeah, the bizarre culture war and obsession fueled by Donald Trump is back again with a series of inexplicable tweets this week in which he called out an NFL exemption that they no longer have and thanked the commissioner for demanding players to stand for the anthem, even though no such demand was made. But here we are, so many people arguing and taking sides over a protest, never mind Puerto Rico, California wildfires, or other pressing issues. It's a photo of the kneeling Buffalo Bills on the homepage of a prominent news website this week, and Cowboys owner Jerry Jones reportedly mandating players to stand for the anthem or risk being benched. That's in the news. So let's talk about it again.
Okay.
And while Jones is arrogant and overreaching, Bills owners Terry and Kim Pegula, they deserve credit for creating a workplace in which players and their rights are respected however they wish to express themselves. Worth clarifying for the umpteenth time that players are not protesting the anthem or the flag. They are silently protesting police brutality against people of color during the anthem. And whether you agree with the protests or not, that's your prerogative. And just like the players, differing views should be respected as well. But while the NFL and its owners own the franchises and the jerseys and the helmets, they don't own the men who wear them. What's becoming truly astonishing and sad is that we're talking about a person, and not just any person, but the person occupying the office of the presidency, attacking the exercise of the First Amendment of our Constitution, which he took an oath to defend. Ordinarily, sports and political or social debate, they don't always intersect, but it happens. However, I never thought I'd see the day when a president seeks to divide our country through sports in an effort to shut down a basic freedom under the cloak of the flag. Once again, disagree, take offense to the protest. That's your right. But what's not right is when an elected official or even a team owner tries to make their view of patriotism compulsory. I'd like to think that if we believe in freedom, we can all acknowledge that in this country, whether it's on an NFL field or any place else for that matter, compulsory exercise of expression just has no place here. So in a season, we've seen no shortage of unusual news items dominating the NFL. There's still a lot of season left to go.
And we might be touching on this story once or twice more before it's all said and done.
I have a feeling we will.
And hopefully we'll be talking about a few more Bills wins when it's all said and done.
Oh, let's hope.
All right, Matt Sabuda, enjoy the bye week off, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for going Beyond the Playbook.
Thank you, Jay.